This summer, in our Psalm series, we have explored many beautiful images of water. This week, though, water was not a comforting image. This week, as I kept up with the news, I didn't see so much springs gushing forth with life as I saw waters roaring and foaming, trembling in tumult, as we heard in Psalm 46 3 weeks ago. If you spend any time online or watching news, I can't imagine that you escaped the photos of three-year-old Alan Kurdi, who drowned in the Mediterranean, escaping from Syria to Turkey, and then trying to reach the Greek island of Kos before coming to Canada. I didn't feel like I could stand behind a pulpit today and not remember the water that Alan and his brother Galip's mother desperately trusted to be safer than Syrian civil war. The water that is taking hundreds of refugee lives, even as it is delivering thousands and thousands of others to countries that offer varying levels of welcome or rejection. You might say that I meditated on that heartbreaking picture day and night, as Psalm 1 commends us to do with God's law. And when the enormity of such a human crisis doesn't just stare us in the face, but grabs us by the lapels and demands we take notice, we might wonder, what good is a psalm that tells us to sit and meditate on the law of the Lord, to delight in the law? Does that mean that we should just cozy up in a corner and just be happy reading the Bible, not addressing all of these other issues that fight for our compassionate response? Drowning Syrian refugees. Black lives matter, but not to everyone. Truth and reconciliation for Canada's First Nations. Sometimes when I get caught up in reading article after article, blog after blog about some of these critical issues, I start to feel like chaff that the wind drives away, like Psalm 1 verse 4 says. There's so much to read, so many perspectives to understand, so many voices to hear. It pulls me this way and that, and I can't anchor myself anywhere from where to do anything useful. I wonder how many others of you have felt like chaff being blown about by the wind. That, I believe, I have to believe, is where the contrasting image comes in Psalm 1. The one who delights in the law of the Lord, meditates on it day and night. That person is like a tree planted by nourishing streams of water, yielding its fruit in its right season, leaves never withering. A tree planted by a stream is anchored, rooted, secure for a lifetime. And when I get pulled in all directions, wondering what to care most about and what to do about it, I need to return to where my roots are fed and where I know how to grow fruit in its right season. Psalm 1 may seem on the surface like it's too simple a dichotomy. Happy are the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish. It's too easy to point out that those who travel right paths will come up against pain and difficulty. And far too often, we see that those who hurt others do manage to prosper in this life, at least in the ways that they seem focused on prospering. But remember that this psalm has been set at the beginning of the whole book of Psalms, the whole record of human experience and emotion and words to God. The gamut of life is expressed throughout the psalms. They're not all neat and tidy and divided in two. Psalm 1 was probably placed at the start of this collection later, when the Hebrew people had rediscovered the Torah, God's law, as a unifying force for them as God's people. This psalm says, "Remember who you are. Remember who God is. In all of life, which you're going to experience, in which you read through the Psalms, come back to remembering this. This psalm orients the whole Psalter. Psalm 1 invites people to meditate on God's law, a word that implies murmuring and mumbling, reciting God's words day and night as if it's your very breath. I think of when I was hiking in Peru with strep throat, a gallbladder attack, probable hypoglycemic crisis, not to mention the altitude, and I did not see how to keep going. And on the last stretch, as we hiked into the darkness, I mumbled to myself, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come," over and over, as if it was the only thing powering my steps, and it might have been. Meditate on God's law as if it's your very breath. And a word about law. This doesn't just mean memorizing the book of Leviticus, although congratulations if you do. The Torah, to the Hebrew people, did eventually come to mean the first five books of our Old Testament. But Torah, law, meant teaching, guidance. The Believer's Church Bible Commentary says that the Torah was the instruction revealing the covenant story of God's dealing with God's people. The law of the Lord is not just a list of rules. The law of the Lord is a story of being saved from slavery in order to bring liberation to others. That's the teaching in which we must anchor ourselves, root ourselves like trees planted by streams of water. The Hebrew people understood that the law of the Lord is a gift of life, a guide for all circumstances. The call to obedience was an invitation to a fruitful life with God, and it is for us too. This psalm that calls us to murmur God's story of grace as if it's our very breath knows that this is the place from which wisdom comes. There's knowing the commandments and there's reading the stories, but it's when they are deeply part of us that we discover the wisdom and discernment for each new time and place. When we are strongly rooted in God's story of grace and Jesus' life of peace, the fruit that we will know how to grow in the right season will be our participation in that story of liberation, compassion, and reconciliation. Psalm 1 teaches us that there are right paths to choose, righteous grooves, if you were fortunate enough to be here for that Psalm 23 quote. And there are paths we don't want and that God does not want for us. We meditate on God's teaching, not as a passive activity in our corner of our home, but in order to bear fruit from a well-rooted place. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." To hear the word is to walk in its way. From that well-rooted place, HMC acted months ago, sending $6,000 worth of relief kits to Syria with MCC, and I just got the email last night that they have made it through the port and safely to a monastery to be distributed. I'll share that letter in sharing time. And in the whole last year, HMC renewed once again a long-standing commitment to the important work of offering hospitality to refugees. When the stories in the news drive me about like chaff in the wind, this community roots me in God's story of grace and assures me that we have wisdom to share in times of crisis. We have words to speak to our government and experiences to share with the rest of our community, stories of the grace we have received even as we have offered hospitality to refugees, stories that could encourage the hospitality of others. This didn't exactly turn out to be the Labor Day sermon I expected, but I've come to expect that. My hope is simply that we would find ourselves rooted in God's story of grace, which I trust to give us wisdom for bearing fruit in all the right seasons. And I would like to hear what makes you feel rooted by streams of water. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to turn to a few people around you and just share for a few minutes about the questions that will be projected on the wall. I know I don't do this often, so I look forward to hearing how you, someone at Pastor's Week last week said, I trust you, the community, to complete this reading of the Word. And so as I have begun it, I entrust it to you to complete the reading. So the questions that you'll discuss with people. This summer, what has made you feel like a tree planted by streams of water? And I put a couple of ideas if they're helpful. Maybe a word from the Psalms that we have studied together this summer. Guidance for your path that you have received. The people around you maybe have made you feel like you're planted by streams of water. Or a gift of rest or rejuvenation. Those are just a few ideas. And the second question, how might this lead you to bear fruit? I'll give you a moment just to think about that on your own. I will sing a song for you, and then I will invite you to turn to people and share, and then you will have the chance to share with the whole congregation if you are comfortable in completing the reading of this word by sharing those thoughts aloud. So take a moment just to reflect on these questions for yourselves. Please turn to a few people around you and give your own answers to these questions. I would love to hear some of the things that some people have reflected on. If you are willing to share something that has made you feel like you're rooted by streams of water and how that calls you to bear fruit or one or the other of those things, I think we can have a mic passed around. I did warn Tom. So if you want to share, just put your hand up and share your reflection. I see a hesitant hand here. All right, there you go. Someone has to start.
Yes, some of the things that were expressed were the words from the Psalms this summer that inspired, and the whole series on the Psalms, and the guidance for the path, and the inspiration in the of the Psalms. Also, we talked about how family and friends energized us, and three of us in our group were involved with the sponsorship of the refugee family, and we wondered, might this lead us to bear fruit by sponsoring more? That's something that we need to pray about and look for guidance for.
Thank you.
Walter when we started, he leaned over and he said, "Dave, you're going to do the talking because you're the talker." Thanks, Walter. And it took us a while to get to where we wanted to get. But we ended up, two things, Walter's plastic bag up there for his donation to welcome in, and a picture that Angus took. And if you close your eyes for a moment, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll be able to see it. I call it that back deck. And you and I, Alyssa, and someone else was sitting there. We were all reading. And we were looking, at least I was, at that skinny little tree. It wasn't very big, maybe less than a foot in diameter and or circumference. And it just grew straight up. There was no leaves on it anywhere except near the top. And that tree knew there's water in the ground that I can draw on. And there's sunlight up at the top, and I'm going to get to the sunlight. And this skinny little tree, it was taller than anything else there, and it was determined that's where I'm going to get to, and that's where it got to. So when you're up there next year, take a look. That skinny little tree will still be there. That's what this is all about. Thank you.
Thank you. There's stories of being by streams of water.
I appreciate the support of the people around me and rejuvenation. This is now the end of the first week. I'm taking on a 12-week challenge, hospital-directed fluid diet, Optifast, 4 prescribed, specifically formulated shakes a day. That's it. Period. Nothing else. Water, tea, coffee. But I was really frightened about starting it. And then I realized there's all the people around me. That's the water for me to keep going. And the rejuvenation will be that I can actually get this body to do things that I'd really like to do to be helpful. And I know I can rely on the people around me. My friends have all said the same thing. Call me anytime. So far, so good. 8 pounds down.
Does anyone else want to share something? Well, continue to let this word rest in your minds and think about how you feel rooted by streams. And if you didn't have an answer for that, maybe pray about that and pray about how you might bear fruit.